following presentation by Wealth Quarterback LLC, WQL, is intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from WQL or any other investment professional of your choosing. Please see additional important disclosure at the end of this presentation. A copy of WQL's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.jalinski.org.
Hey, everybody. This is Josh Jalinski, the Financial Quarterback. And today on the show, we're exploring the potential downfall of the American empire. We are an empire of debt, drawing uncanny parallels to ancient Rome's fall. And in extra points, we'll dive into the world of Bitcoin and digital currencies, asking, are they the world's new supporting actors in the world of finance? All this and more on the Financial Quarterback Podcast. Hi, this is Josh Jalinski, and on today's show, we're switching things up. Our producer, Josh Fisher, has a question he believes I can offer some insightful advice on. So, Josh, let's hear it.
Okay, so there's this viral meme, TikTok trend going around about the Roman Empire, and it kind of goes like this. Women approach the men in their life and ask how often they think about the Roman Empire. Clips of boyfriends, husbands, dads, and brothers who have never stepped foot in Italy casually admitting that they think about the Roman Empire often, even multiple times per day, have gone viral on the video sharing platform, with female creators often expressing complete bewilderment at the shared obsession. So I guess I want to know, what are your thoughts on the Roman Empire and how does it relate to today's day and age?
Well, the thing with the Roman Empire and the U.S. is empires always fall because they have printing powers and they have the powers of the printing press. So they usually get destroyed from within because of inflation. That's what's going to happen here.
How do you see that playing out?
How do I see this transpiring? Well, what did the Roman Empire do? They gave bread and circuses. So, I mean, this has been going on since we've fallen off the gold standard in the early 70s with Richard Nixon. Once you untether money from reality. See, anywhere throughout human history, think of even the Soviet Union. It wasn't undermined by blue jeans, as some people say, and American capitalists, you know, teenagers. It was undermined because they were going broke. There were many contributing aspects of the fall of the Roman Empire and the fall of the Russian Empire. There'll be many contributing factors to the fall of the American Empire. If you think about it, you know, we had military base all over the world. We are an American empire. There's American imperialism. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing because we export freedom around the globe. I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing. I don't necessarily like, a lot of people don't like to be the world's policeman, but it's sort of a big shoe to fill. But in any historical parallel, the Roman Empire, the seeds of the destruction of the Roman Empire, were 400 years before it actually fell. So it could be a long time before the U.S. falls. It was not just Caesar crossing the Rubicon. It was the decadence of sort of the Roman Republic era that led to the Roman triumvirate. If you ever know about a Pompey, ever study Pompey and Marcus Crassus and all these people. So you went from the Roman family, the familia, to the Roman Senate, kind of like our American constitutional Republican phase, even though, you know, not everyone had their rights, but generally you had a constitutional republic that then was taken over by an overzealous executive branch. Then Julius Caesar became dictator. Then you had Caesar Augustus and the Pax Romana, the Roman peace. Oh, it sounds really nice, but he was really an emperor. People don't have any rights. And so you had a very strong executive branch. You can't go against the U.S. executive branch anymore. It's so big, so powerful. So strong executive branch. And then what do? They start printing money to paper away their problems. They would create the Roman circus. What do you think the gladiator fights were about? It was about diverting the masses from what was going on in society, that they were getting less and less power. So send them to a football game. Let's build a $4 billion, you know, football stadium so that people, instead of bettering themselves every Sunday, they spend 1/7 of their week. People worried about financial planning. They spend 1/7 of their week dominated by football instead of bettering themselves, spending time with their kids, going to church, reading a book, working extra hours. So in many ways, U.S. football, U.S. sports, I'm all for enjoying a game every now and again. Big baseball fan. But the point is, I like football too. But now we don't just have Sunday football. We have Monday night, Thursday night. Marx said religion is the opiate of the masses. I actually think it's sports is the opiate of the masses. It's a way to kind of divert yourself away from what's going on. So what does the government do? They paper away your problems with higher taxes, higher spending. And because the U.S. is the world's reserve currency, they can do this right now. But there will come a time when nobody wants to buy our debt because our debt won't mean anything anymore. Right now, people value America as the cleanest dirty shirt in the laundry pile. But there will come a time when people don't want to buy the U.S. 10-year treasury anymore, when they don't really trust us.
Do you see other countries taking over? You know, what does that look like?
Well, you want to look for countries that have sound money. So what you'll see is a conglomeration of countries. The Eurozone did that already. They created the Euro. Hey, US, we don't want you to be as powerful. Now, many say, oh, the Euro is a failed experiment. Well, the Euro has more gold backing it than the US dollar does. So other than with the Brexit, Euro's here to stay. Euro did more than anything to destroy U.S. Trade than anything else, the U.S. trade imbalances. People talk about China. What does the Chinese yuan account for in global trade? I think it's like 3%. So the yuan represents 2.7%. 2.77% ranked fifth overall after the euro, the UK pound, and the Japanese yen. The yuan share of global payments, this is from Nikkei Asia, remains small compared with the size of China's economy, but is up from about 1.81%. So what did China do? They increased their percentage of global trade by 50%. So even though it goes from 1.8 to 2.7, it's showing that more people want to kind of get away from the dollar. They don't want to be hedged. It's like, what did we do? We said, hey, Brits, we love you, but we want to kind of go away from the British pound. Is the British pound still around? Yes. Is it still a modicum of trade? Yes. But I actually think one of the greatest failures of Trump administration, and I'm generally a conservative guy, was the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We needed a global trade alliance with NAFTA, North American. You know, I'm not a fan of how the trade agreements have the kind of the results of them, but we want to have free trade between the U.S. and Canada and the U.S. and Mexico. We want to have free trade between us and all of our Asia Pacific Rim partners, because that's our big defense against a strong China. Do you want to be able to have no tariffs on those countries? That we don't want tariffs on our goods and they shouldn't want tariffs on theirs. But people have this thing that, you know, globalism is bad. Globalism has aspects where it's bad. But that's how come, you know, you can buy a TV on Black Friday for $99 because of your free trade agreements. Those same TVs used to be, you know, a grand. So free trade, and people say, well, I want free trade to be fair trade. Well, that means then you're going to have tariffs. And eventually, that's why these other countries are now cutting deals with China. So guess who that's bad for? Us. So isolationism never works in history on the left or the right. And it usually leads to wars. Currency wars eventually lead to world wars. But it first starts with, oh, we're going to slap a tariff on this country because they're taking away American jobs. Well, kind of happens, you know. Money flows to where labor is cheaper and goods are plentiful. You know, Brazil, for example, the Trans-Pacific Partnership is about South America and Asia, along with the U.S. China and Brazil, for example, are now inking bilateral trade agreements. So you might say, well, what does that do with me? That's why when you go to the grocery store, cost you how much for a bag of chips now? $7. Because you are ignorant of the cause of those high prices is government overspending, government not living within their means. Now, what does this have to do with trade deals? Because two factors are working against the dollar. Other countries wanting to diversify. They're not saying, hey, I want out of the US. They're saying, I just want to diversify. And we're not anti-US. We're just going to do a little deal here with China. You know, but part of having free trade alliances is say, hey, we're going to have no tariffs on our products, Canada, but we don't want you to be cutting trade deals with China. And that's what's happening now because we're slapping tariffs on things. We're slapping tariffs on the Canadian cow, Canadian beef. What are they doing? Hey, we're getting some Chinese beef or we're getting Chinese products anymore. So, and I'm not an expert in global trade, but it's not, you know, usually no simple solution, but two things will hurt the dollar over time. So a lot of people tell me, hey, Josh, you think the dollar will go to zero? No, I think the dollar in your pocket will just be worth less. A little bit more each year. So you have to prepare for that. You have to have a diversified portfolio. You have to have things that go up as we lose U.S. strength in the world. Do I think the U.S. will lose strength as a military superpower? No. But as a trade superpower, maybe, because people don't trust us anymore to balance our budgets. Our credit rating's at risk. And that's why financial planning is very important. Hey, this is Josh Jelinski, the financial quarterback. We'll be back after these messages.
Tune in to the financial quarterback, Josh Jelinski, then learn how to protect your financial future in a down economy. Josh and his team at the Jelinski Advisory Group can help you lower your taxes and lower your risk in these uncertain times with a 27-point checklist designed to improve your financial health. Whether you're worried about runaway prices, fear of an upcoming recession, or a stock market meltdown, tune in to the Financial Quarterback and count on Josh Jelinski to call the play. For a free copy of Josh's book, The Retirement Reality Check, call 888-988-5674. That's 888-988-5674. Or visit Jelinski.org. That's JALINSKI.org.
I guess that kind of feeds into this whole idea of BRICS, right? This new super chain of coming together for starting a currency.
Yeah, well, the BRICS, Russia, Brazil, Russia, India, China. There have been talks that they will create some type of currency. I doubt they'll create some currency so much as there's going to be trade deals between these emerging superpower. So the five currencies used by the current BRICS members are the renminbi, which is the Chinese yuan, the ruble from Russia, the rupee, the real, and the rand, or the rand of South Africa. So BRICS stands for basically Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And they are focusing on boosting trade in their national currency instead of developing a common currency. So, and there's this whole idea of the Silk Road that China wants to kind of allow free trade. So China, communist country, they want to be a leader in free trade among these countries. Hey, we won't slap a tariff like Trump will. Your goods can have free flow in our country. Currency wars never end up well. They just don't historically. Historically, they lead to world wars. Now, why are people so ignorant of this? I don't think people study history.
One more to add to that, too. How does Bitcoin play into that? And, you know, people's fears that the dollar is not safe, that it might make sense to have this, you know, decentralized currency to invest in.
Well, I think this explains the rise of Bitcoin. People want things that are non-denominated dollars or yuan or renminbi because they don't want a government, whether it be China or the U.S. government, that can manipulate its currencies. People like the idea of opting out of governments just printing more of something, thereby devaluing their currency. So Bitcoin appeals to that sense like a digital gold. And I think that's why real gold is rising as well.
Yep. Buy it at Costco.
Buy it at Costco. Yeah, I think it's sold out though.
And then you can return it.
Yeah. What happens with the Costco return policy? Because you can return stuff, Costco. Can you?
But certain things, I think like TVs and stuff, you only have like 90 days to return it. Certain things.
Yeah, 90 days for electronics, 10 days for gold. You know, they got a man. I could make headlines as the first guy to ever return their gold bar they bought at Costco.
They already have a picture of you on the wall with an
extra.
Like
me. They like me.
The most returns.
They love me. I just returned an umbrella.
There you go.
I mean, the problem is you go in there to return it and then you walk out spending more money anyway.
Yeah, just to be fair.
Free money.
It is the greatest way to get foot traffic in your store because you kind of feel bad. I'm telling you, they are not losing money on the return policy.
I think that does it for today's recording. Jim, the producer, what else do we need?
Are you here late, Jim, or no?
I don't think so.
What do we need Jim for? Anything?
Is that like a general question or specifically today?
The whole house of cards would fall down without me.
Yeah, but no, I mean on the show.
Hey, they went on without Kevin Spacey.
I mean, Robin Wright Penn was like, you were reminded that she wasn't that good in Forrest Gump either. He made her good as an actress.
True.
Yeah. That's how good of an actor he is, even though I can't stand him, whatever he did personally. But yeah, afterwards, like when it was her alone, you're like, yeah, she's not really lead actor material. She's like best supporting actress. It's like Tommy Lee Jones, right? Great supporting actor. But when he was like the lead, was he ever really that great?
He has to play off someone for sure.
I think she was the same way. She was great as Jenny. She was great as the evil kind of wife of Kevin Spacey. But when she was the lead dog, it was like, eh.
Yeah. Tommy Lee Jones is always good as like the villain or like the number two, you know, in The Fugitive or No Country.
Yeah. But when they made him like the lead character in his heyday.
Yeah.
I would say Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive is probably the best supporting actor of all
100%.
Time. You're like, oh, that guy's the greatest actor ever. And then you watch his other shows.
Yeah.
Well, let's Google that. This is actually good for the podcast, right? It's fun.
Can't really. I mean, I guess he was in Batman Forever, which the bad one. Men in Black. I mean, he played off of Will Smith.
Yeah, that's my point.
I can't think of any movies that he was the guy.
U.S. Marshals. So they loved him so much. And that was a bomb.
Yeah, exactly.
The Client was, I liked it because I liked that book, but nobody else did. So JFK, he was a supportive character for.
Yeah. No.
He had a great phase. Listen to this, by the way. Early 90s. He had a ton before that. But he had a period of JFK, Under Siege, House of Cards, The Fugitive, Heaven and Earth, Blown Away, The Client, Natural Born Killers, Blue Sky, Cobb, about Ty Cobb, Batman Forever, Volcano. Men in Black.
Volcano was bad.
And then U.S. Marshals. But he never, I would say he was never, then No Country for Old Men kind of brought him back. But I don't.
He still wasn't the lead. I mean, technically was the lead of that movie, but no.
Yeah, I think he was never great as.
Yeah, he couldn't carry it himself.
And I would say that's with Robin Ray Penn, too.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you need to play off other people. Like, although he was better than Harrison Ford, right, in The Fugitive, he needed Harrison Ford's character to be so good.
Exactly. Same with Men in Black. He needed Will Smith to be, you know, he needed to be the straight man.
Yeah.
I think he's a good straight man, you know?
And that reminds you, you need a good supporting actor in your financial portfolio. And that's really the key of a good financial advisor. Enhancing what is unique about you and your money. Just had a great conversation with a budding entrepreneur on their way to a $100 million business. They've had one exit, want to have another $100 million exit. And how we're structuring things is a small business retirement plan for them. We're also structuring ways with their financial planning to potentially lower taxes, strategize things like insurance, holistic financial planning. But we're really trying to enhance the fact that their unique ability is the ability to earn income. Does that make sense? Not necessarily trust a financial advisor. So that's one financial tip for you. Hey there, listeners. Are you up against a financial obstacle or have a burning money question? Here's your shot to not get sacked. Get your questions answered live on the Financial Quarterback Podcast. Just dial 888-988-JOSH and leave us a message with your question. Or write us an email at info@financialquarterback.us. I might just answer your question live on the air. That's 888-988-5674, 888-988-JOSH. Or email us info@financialquarterback.us. Leave us a message and let me help create your game-winning financial plan.
The previous presentation by Wealth Quarterback LLC, WQL, was intended for general information purposes only. No portion of the presentation serves as the receipt of or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from WQL or any other investment professional of your choosing. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and it should not be assumed that the future performance of any specific investment or investment strategy or any non-investment related or planning services, discussion, or content will be profitable, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. WQL is neither a law firm nor accounting firm, and no portion of its services should be construed as legal or accounting advice. No portion of the video content should be construed by a client or prospective client as a guarantee that he or she will experience a certain level of results if WQL is engaged or continues to be engaged to provide investment advisory services. A copy of WQL's current written disclosure brochure discussing our advisory services and fees is available upon request or at www.jalinski.org.